Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
is when you would hear the dulcet tones of Deborah Lee, whose show this is. But Deb is not well. Deb has been, I would say, let down by the American health system, and she has a terrible toothache and can't get it fixed. So she has very sensibly taken some painkiller and gone to bed. So Deb, get well soon, and I hope that all happens soon enough. You're listening to a team of voices on Blog Talk Radio. I am AP Taylor, and I've got with me the author of the words of our opening song. That is none other than Jay Hatter. Hi, Hatter. How are you?
I thought you said awful.
Hey, did I? Hey, oh, there you go. There you go. We shouldn't have done that. Anyway, I have got another caller. Hello, 440. Hello, 440.
Hey.
It's Stephen.
Stephen?
Hello.
Stephen.
Hello. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am very, very well. Thank you. I'm very, very well. Thank you for asking. And we have another caller as well. Hello, 503. How are you? Hello, 503.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hey. AP. AP,
hey.
This is Dave.
Hi, Dave.
I'm sorry.
How are you? No, it's all good. Thank you. Now, Stephen, you're usually on a bit of a time crunch. I'm assuming that's the case tonight. Is that right?
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay, so Stephen, I'm going to get you to go first, and then Dave, I'm going to turn to you, and then I'm going to go to you, Hatter. So I'm going to get around the boards, but I'm going to go to Stephen first and put your palm on the board. Now, I'm just coming up to speed with everything. Stephen, are you reading tonight, or have we got a SoundCloud?
There should be a SoundCloud.
Should be a SoundCloud. Okay, bear with me. And I'm just looking up the board now, and there is. So here we go. Here's the SoundCloud, Stephen. Just one tick.
You all know me. Know how I earn a living.
Quint's Last Glint by Stephen 76.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Orca stern is splintered beneath the sea, while jagged teeth do pierce the spleen. Blood spurts out through sailor maw, milled and torn by white shark jaws. End poem.
Well, that was something. Did she put that image on the board? Jeepers creepers. No wonder you chose that one. You must have got in quickly, Stephen. Oh, that's a hell of a fun image. And, of course, this is one of these sort of classic sort of four-line tens that all of us sit back and go, well, you know, I've got one of those and you've got 91 of them. So that's pretty funky too. Dave, did you want to say a few words about Clint's Last Glint? Dave?
Yeah, that was pretty. My mute button got the best of me once again. No, yeah, I like that. I thought that was really good. Stephen, you did marvelous in four lines of brevity here.
Yeah,
I've watched. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've watched Jaws, and that scene where he gets sucked into the jaws of that great, huge, monstrous shark as it comes right across the transom of his boat. So I like the way you did that, Stephen. Yeah, well done.
Thank you, Dave.
It was good fun.
Yeah.
It was good fun. There was definitely Jaws about it. Love the music in the background, too. Hatter, what did you think of that piece?
What was it he said? It was fine until the tigers showed up.
Ha!
Tiger sharks. Is that the Indianapolis is what he's – I think it's the boat.
Yeah.
The ship.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
That depicts the actual jaw scene, doesn't it? Isn't that Quint sliding down into his jaws there?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, crazy, but yes. So,
yeah, I've seen that movie once.
Amazing. Did it have the same effect as that horrible time that you had watching The Wizard of Oz, Tata?
Well, Wizard of Oz, I was probably about 5. So there was a reason I remember screaming out of the room.
Okay. Well, that'll do it.
More like The Exorcist. Once I see a movie, I don't need to see it again, I guess.
No, I get that. You've seen it once. You've seen it plenty of times. But that was great fun, Stephen. Thank you. Now, are you going to stick around, or are you going to disappear into the eve?
I have to disappear into the waves.
Okie doke. Well, lovely to have you riding this with us, even though it was for a short period of time, Stephen.
Yep, kiss the wind. Kiss the wind.
Yep. Enjoy. Yeah. And say hello to Kay for us, and be good.
All right, you too. Take care.
Okay, thanks again. Okay, cheers. Now, I should say hello to to one of my friends who's joined us. Chelsea here has managed to get the damn thing to work here in Australia, so that's one thing. Now, Dave, did I hear you say that you were on a time crunch? Did I hear you say
that? Yeah, tonight I am. No, not usually, but tonight I am.
Well, that's why I've actually gone and put your palm up on the board. Now, once again, I'm going to ask, are you reading or is there a SoundCloud? It looks like you're reading. Is that right?
No, I'll read it. I'll read it.
Perfect. Okay, brilliant. Okay. Well, I hope, I think, I've put your palm interlopers in the court of the Golden Dragonfly Queen up on the board.
Yeah, okay, I got it. Yeah, this was, I call this one Interlopers in the Court of the Golden Dragonfly Queen. I couldn't think of anything else to call it, so that's where it wound up. So it sounds like this. In the Court of the Dragonfly Queen, gold leaf gilted upon her wings, glint in the summer sunlight as she flits her wings up and down, casting those memories of blue devil's darning needles darting atop mountain lakes in the summer sun, teasing those largemouth bass that would eat them for a snack, the golden queen of the dragonflies. Her six-foot wingspan only attracts the interlopers, those that would remain uninvited, those whose boorish manners precede them with no introduction, those that would stand up blocking your vision of her highness, those that would disassemble her for the gold they think she has, others for the trophy head upon their walls, too stupid to even be ashamed of their own thoughts, need to be reminded with extreme prejudice by both queens. For I came upon another forest queen, a gilded giantess reflecting in iridium wavelengths her dragonfly countenance, notes in mysterious minor keys as her golden wings reciprocate up and down in the forest sunlight. My dog and I sat transfixed at her beauty. It was then I saw two men approach her from the south, stealing into her reverie. Purple vapor I know so well carries my queen's essence of cotton candy and gunpowder. I heard one of the men say, "What is that funny smell?" to his equally stupid partner. The dark mother materialized out of her permanganate haze, her sub-octave voice booming out, "Get thee from these woods, interlopers, for this place is holy." He spoke to the dark mother, saying, "We were cut short by the dark mother's gamma ray burst from her gorgeous dark matter hand, vaporizing him." The remaining interloper, now a whiter shade of pale, running and crying to escape, not soon enough for the dark mother's vaporize him as well. "Isn't she a marvelous creation, David, my man? I know you love dragonflies, and this is one of my best efforts in time immemorial. Do you like what I did, my man?" giggles from the dark queen as she kissed my cheek and my dog's head. End poem.
Well, I guess that the moral of that story, Dave, is if ever you're finding yourself in a forest and something like a dark creature says, "Get the hay out of there," the best thing to do is actually take that advice. Yeah? I think that's probably my summation of where you've got. Yeah? I'm thinking you're not going to be around terribly long if you can sort of push out the dark matter in the hand. Anyway, Hatter, what do you think of Dave's place?
I agree with you. A six-foot dragonfly. You know, there's one creature on this planet whose hunting prowess has no equal. If it chooses you to have for dinner, you will be eaten. And that's the dragonfly. Can you imagine a six-foot dragonfly?
Yeah.
God.
Now, we have another caller. I've got a funny feeling this might be 720. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, 720. Hi, sweet. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine, as long as I don't use my right hand. I'm perfectly fine. Yeah?
Wasn't it your left hand last year, or was it the same hand?
You know, you cut with the glass.
The left hand. Yeah, no, but this time it's the right hand. Yeah, so.
As long as you stay balanced.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's exactly right. So it's no other way around it. Anyway, now, Dave, I'm thinking that you might be looking to disappear into the eve. Is that right?
What's that?
Are you looking to disappear? You got to go?
I can hang around for about 5 more minutes.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to get Hatter's poem on the board. Hatter, we're going to do yours next. How's that?
Okay, sounds good to me.
Sounds good
David,
to you.
I love
now,
this,
you
by the way.
Happy? Oh, yeah, no, please, sweet. I wasn't sure if you heard, but please, if you were there, say something, by all means.
I did. I thought this was lovely. One of the things that I adore is dragonflies. I actually collect little things that have dragonflies on them. Just so that you know, dragonflies are also known to carry souls from this earth to the next. So they have a lot of mythological things in different cultures. So I'm just thinking either this dragonfly carried many souls, he was said to carry something that meant many souls or a very special soul.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I took from this,
that
is a very special, you know, dragonfly, especially if it had something to do with the Dark Mother and all of that. So, you know, she definitely had something going on. So somewhere in the future or possibly now, there was a very special soul for this beautiful dragonfly.
Mm.
I like that.
Cool.
A lot.
Yeah, I do too.
That's very neat. That's very neat.
I'll have to.
I'm glad.
To expand on that thought.
Yeah. No. It's great. I didn't even know that. That's really, really very insightful. Anyway, okay. So, Dave, thank you. And now we've got Hatter's poem up on the board. Now, Hatter, did you want to read this or did you want me to read it for you?
I better read it. I'm sort of glad Deb took the night off because they took a picture. Couldn't get anything written. So I took another picture.
Yep.
That was worse. So I had to go back to the original picture and sort of struggled.
Right.
And this is what it is, yeah. So,
okay, right.
It's called Bot.
Okay.
Bot love.
You're not sort of pumping up the tires of it, Hatter. You're not pumping the tires of it, but keep on going.
Okay, Bot love. Okay. Love came to Bot from a toy that he bought. He loved it more than life. He came to see if she would marry he and become his robo-wife. He dreams of the things that she will bring and stay for all eternity, to live in a box as Mrs. Bot to fill his robo-fantasies. He watches her dancing for another she fancies. His heart begins to ache. Little Bot bleeds for the love that he needs and the one that was a mistake. Bot stares into space in search of a place where he knows there is no love. What he found buried underground, cursing the light from above. Bad little Bot roams the kingdom on a quest to find his freedom. He swears the sky has turned gray, dowsing for things he sees in his dreams, wishing for yesterday.
So, wow.
Mean poem.
Well, Hatter, I mean, I think you're being hard on yourself. I've actually sort of watched 2-hour Steven Spielberg films that have got less material in them than that poem. And they were turned into films.
You know when you put it's generic or you just it didn't pop.
No. I like the whole idea of the boss and it sort of being something that you sort of keep there just in case. To live in a box as Mrs. Bot, I thought that's very cute. The social comment, the whole thing. You know, I actually really like the thinking in this one, Hatter. That's why I really like the poem. As I said, I think it's got something, but that's just me. Sweet, what did you think?
First off, I think it's fabulous. I just watched this Russian-written series called Better Than Us that is all about this plot that is about loving the family and offering empathy. She's very upset that the human does not want her as a wife. Because she was a bot that was made for this. And first off, it's all really like you watched the show and wrote this. So let me tell you, there's this great show called Better Than Us out of Russia.
Yeah.
And your poem
yes.
literally just plugs into this. And it's fabulously
wow.
written. It's great rhyme. And it's got this really creepy
yeah.
AI kind of sneaking into our world right now. And it's like
yeah.
right on consciousness and in mean, everybody's mind. I mean, you can pull up right now and talk to an AI girlfriend or AI sister or an AI best
yeah.
friend.
Yeah.
And I think you're
you
right
can.
Now common times. I think it's beautiful.
Speaker. Speaker, I agree.
Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Dave, what did you think of that piece by Hatter?
Muted.
Oh, Dave, you're still with us. You may.
Damn.
May,
oh, I'm sorry. I'm here.
No, that's okay.
Sorry.
Are you still here? That's cool. Okay.
Anyway, I saw this prompt when I was looking at all the rest of them, and I thought, boy, this thing is creepy. I don't know what I'd do with that. And leave it to
yeah.
Hatter to redo the whole,
yeah.
you know, the whole impression of this picture here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I yep. thought it was funny, you know, and
yep.
sweet at the same time, and Hatterish all over the place. And I really like the way he turned this around, and it's a lovely thing to read. It's a lovely thing to hear. It doesn't
yep.
cause any of your mechanicals to stick out on you
no.
when you're listening to it. It's beautiful. I really liked it. Way to go, Hatter.
I agree. And Jack, it's completely right. It's the poem's far better than what Pixar did, you know, back those years ago. It just completely smashed it. Anyway, I am so glad that you're here, Sweet, because I was thinking of writing something, and then I wrote something reasonably dark. And so,
oh, goody!
I'm glad you're here, because this is upon Purple Strands, and it goes a little bit like this: light, it shines purple and iridescent, through which my fingers slip through. I am seeking the warmth of your crescent. Aching in the absence of this hue. A darkness, it creeps over my skin, smothers my face, its tendrils anew. While evils, I imagine, tortured the grin, as tones slide quickly to blue. I try to grasp onto the pale shades, their shadows burn hope deeply true. The more I reach, the more the essence fades, and darkness instead rapidly grew. Until there is a blackened room, with memories swirling around in two. My long years of solitude left resume, recalling when purple meant you. End poem.
Mm.
Oh my goodness, AP, this is just beautiful. I love purple and iridescent. First of all, I love the picture. And seeking the warmth of your crescent, I love that image. Just the way a woman's body would fall into a man's, that I think is a beautiful imagery. And then the fact that you don't ever quite grasp that it's a shadow. It's, you know, the pale shades of a shadow, like you're trying to find what was that shadow. And the ending, my long years of solitude left resume, recalling when purple meant you. You know, to miss that, to yearn for that for many, many years, lying in that blackened room. There's such a sadness, a somberness to it. Very well written, very kind of deep, and flows with that steady sadness of mourning and wanting and waning for something you just can't seem to grasp. It's very well done and very beautiful. Mr.
Thank
Hatter.
You.
You're welcome. What did you love about this poem?
It did start getting dark. What was it? Darkness was definitely agree. I tried to grasp into the pale shades. The shadows burn hope deeply true. The more I reach, the more the essence fades. The darkness instead rapidly grew. You got away with how your rhyme schemes, AP, and I just most impressed with you. Nice job.
Thank you. Thanks, Adam. Cheers.
And if David's still around.
Indeed I am.
Okay.
This was marvelous. I think I like this one probably second best to your best one.
Cool. That's pretty good.
You know, it's beautiful the way you handled it, you know, and it's got a reverence about it that I really like. It sort of progresses from light to dark as the storyline goes, but it's beautiful, and the way it rhymes is marvelous. Gee, maybe I should mouse up my right hand so I could do stuff like you do. I don't know. I'm just being a smartass here, AP.
No.
It's beautiful. I really like this. It was wonderful to read. Wonderful.
Thank you. It sort of was one of those ones where I saw the picture and I couldn't believe anybody had not grabbed it to start with, but it was there, and I sort of thought, because it was the last one, and I just loved how there was a little and there was a lot, if that makes sense. Just the amount of light that was there just was enough to sort of bring it to really speak to me. So it was just a great picture. So my thanks to Deb for as always for finding it and putting it up on the board. So okie doke. So we are now sweet. Do you have a poem?
Yes, it should be on the board, actually. I thought I threw it up there. If I didn't, let me go grab that. Did I not put it on the board? I'm such a silly person.
Well, you know, sometimes things think life gets in the way and all of that, you know.
I wrote it like a day ago almost. Like I wrote it and I finished
it
up. Wow,
you were so organized.
I mean, I know, and then I don't go put it on the board. What is that all about?
I don't know.
Finished it like before everything was done. That's crazy for me. I'm usually like the last minute
I was one of those last, you know, where sort of Deb called me up and said, you know, you're hosting, so you know, sort of shit, well, better have a poem, you know, all that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, you're far more organized than me, sweet. So I can see it now on the board.
Yes. This is Red Roses and Broken Promises. Absolution is craved by the delicate, marching militant ducklings in unison, keeping time and ghost note illusions, spawning zero sparks of creativity, depending on artificial intelligence to evolve their emotional codependency. Forgetting wrapped in bitterness without malice represents strength, relentless in the dark moments of yesterday, where monsters and babies cry for revenge. The sweet scent of flowers falsifies the stories, pretending no crimes have been committed. Martyrs of spoken vows stand naked, harboring the knowledge. Their eyes betray adorations for lies. Flashing false smiles in daily conversations, mannequins holding plastic hands in department store window scene. Cry on sunny days and carve words of cruelties into their skin, feeling the envelope of darkness crushing them into confinement. Scoreboards keep the tally in hidden compartments of unfaithfulness, where random acts of betrayal drowned in sanguine puddles of Judas's kindness, collecting silver coins to purchase purity from the gardens of Hades, reaching for long-stemmed roses laid upon the dead promise, buried in cement coffins floating on the river Styx, both numb to the pain of 1,000 thorns slowly bleeding out until death's brutal end. in the poem.
Wow. Slowly bleeding out of 1,000. That'll do it. That's one way to go. Hatter, did you want to say anything about the very interesting poem that we just heard from Sweet?
Yeah, I like the reaching for long stem roses laid upon the dead promise buried in cement coffins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sweet, back. Sweet, I don't know if you remember a Christmas show. I think it was in 19. You read a poem and you accidentally replaced the word Santa. You said Satan.
Sounds like me.
And we started giving you crap about that. Yeah, pretty funny.
Yeah, sounds like me.
Mm-hmm. Well remembered, Hatter. Dave, did you want to say a few words about Sweet Space?
Yes, I sure do. What I like the, fifth stanza down, flashing false smiles in daily conversations, mannequins holding plastic hands in a department store window scene, cry on sunny days and carve words of cruelty into their skin, feeling the envelope of darkness crushing them into confinement. That is really a powerhouse of a stanza there. And the whole thing is amazing. It kind of makes me, wonder what the final solution to this whole thing is. I thought it was very picturesque, and I love the I love the metaphors. There we go. That you used in this, Pam. It's marvelous, and also like the last stanza, reaching for the long stem roses laid upon the dead promise, buried in cement coffins, floating in the river Styx, both numb to the pain of 1,000 thorns, slowly bleeding out until death's brutal end. It's kind of funny that you used a reference to the river Styx, because the last couple of poems that I've written, I have done the same, and it's the river Styx has worked its way into my poetry as well as yours. I thought that was just, I don't know, it just stuck out on me, that's all. But I really like this. I thought it was very well written, and I'm going to pin it on my page too, by the way. It's wonderful.
You.
You're welcome, sweetie.
Thank you.
I really like this piece, Sweet. I particularly the start, absolution is craved by the delicate. I love that. I think that's just wonderful. Marching militant ducklings in unison, and it took me back, it's funny how these things take you back, and it took me back to me watching this video on YouTube, and it was 2 minutes of 50,000 ducks crossing the road in China, and there was something sort of strange about that. But anyway, it was quite relaxing just sitting there watching ducks crossing the road. And everything stopped, and there was no accidents, and no duck was injured in the making of this video, and all that stuff. It was just a flock of ducks, and just kept on going and going and going. And they were in a line, and the line was probably 20, 30 wide, and they just kept on going across the road. It was just strange. Anyway, that took me back to that, Sweet, which is what the poetry does, and keeping time in ghost note illusions. And so I was in the world of ducks crossing the road. In China. That's it.
Cool.
Let's do.
I'm glad.
Yeah. No, seriously. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's where it was.
No, I heard this.
And for the record.
I heard this. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Hannah?
It's no big deal. Go ahead.
Okay. But I was just going to say, that's the wonder of poetry. It brings you into different places and puts you in different things and drops you and picks you up again. Anyway, there you go. It's kind of cool. Great poem, though. Really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Just covered the bases I didn't even know we were going to cover, which is the way it should be. Okay,
So I've got a couple of poems to read. One of these is by Heavenly Angel, which I'm going to put up on the board now. And so let me do that. And then I will read it. It is Hushed Moments by Heavenly Angel. It goes a little bit like this. The freshening breath of blowing breeze, purple velvet plush clouds alight with burnt orange peel sunset. I watch the ripples play atop silvery stream, reflecting the fire in the sky, living for these moments that are too sacred for words. Stars shine like shooting blue diamonds, basking in the glow amongst the Milky Way. Cicadas sing their evening song, trees bow their boughs, swirling leaves signifying peaceful, in silhouette and stillness. Upon the whispered breath of night I fall, tranced eyes see but dreams to fill, tracing through celestial skies tranquil, hushed moments, dancing across my flesh. Ping-pong. See, that was nice. Sweet. What did you think of that piece by Heavenly?
Well, this is stunning. I mean, I love starshine like shooting blue diamonds, basking in the glow amongst the Milky Way. I just, that just
yeah,
sounds like something I would love to do. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I want to
bask in the, you know.
And then I love, upon the whispered breath of night, I fall tranced, eyes see but dreams to fill. She has such a way with these great metaphors of, the only thing I can say is calm and peace,
to want to
just be in that calm and peace, like a steaming cup of tea. You just fall into that lovely moment of peace.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, very much so. Lovely, lovely comment. Yeah, completely agree. Hada, did you want to say some words about Heavenly Angel's piece?
You mean like a joint in the park? Oh, yeah, no, I agree. It's something about the word, to use the right words. I mean, we've talked about this before. Poetry is a puzzle of words. You see, the different poets can say the same thing in their own way. One would be not as good as the other because of just the words chosen. So, define the well that you dig your words out of carefully. We talked about as AP, hard sounding words don't belong in love poems.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Agreed. There's ways and means. And Dave, what did you think of Heavenly Angel's piece?
I agree with what Hatter had to say about this. It's very comforting and peaceful, and you absolutely have to use the right words, or it sticks out like thorns on a cactus otherwise. And she's a sorceress at this type of poetry and its descriptions and metaphors and stuff. I always enjoy listening to her poetry. And it puts one in a peaceful place. At the same time, it's also a positive feeling. You know, you feel good about listening to it. You know, you don't beat yourself up over it and say, no, it's boring or it's, it's cliche.
Yeah.
It doesn't carry that weight. You know, it's always this way. And boy, we sure need... I wish we could take some of Angel's poetry and broadcast it completely around the world and tell everybody to shut up and just listen to it. It would probably straighten the world up a whole bunch. But it's beautiful.
Bloody hell.
Beautiful.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a lovely sense to the poem, I think, is what you're saying, and I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
And the spirit behind the poem is incredibly positive and powerful. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okie doke. I am heading to the seaboard, and I have got none other than a great supporter of Deb's shows and all of their shows, Gerald Green, and I'm going to play a SoundCloud from him now.
Underneath, written and read by Gerald Green. Molten lava lives beneath tectonic plates, waiting for release. Shifts and fissures, making new paths as hell's destruction prepares its next release. Some eruptions are acerbic words between two sisters, burning delicate flowers, destroying all life on its way toward a fertile valley, hardening into a black blanket, smothering what could be, preventing love. They didn't talk for 15 years, and then one died. Some eruptions live in bottles that pour a precious-looking nectar, waiting to control, impairing judgment on its way, searing relationships, leaving scars that never heal. Eruptions have been known to live in white powder and pills, innocent until they're not. Tectonic shifts moving with moon's phases, like a serpent in the night. A few eruptions explode before eyes of curiosity that get too close, destroyed by nature's forces as they live to dare, some on rugged cliffs and others with parachutes or racing cars. When lava mesmerizes, globs of molten energy flying, landing, flowing, covering themselves with a coat of crusty black, the weak are drawn like new adulterers waiting to be burned. Glowing lava warns the wise, who keep a distance, respecting nature's wrath, like forest birds that fly away when you approach. End poem.
Well, beautifully read, as always, to start with. Gerald, I love the sense of lava and it being underneath, and it being underneath a whole heap of different things and those dual meanings that you had as you went through the poem. It was quite beautiful. I think I'm always reminded of different cultures and how they deal with volcanoes and eruptions. They happen so happen in Iceland so often. I can still remember people sort of tramping out to see the lava, you know. So there's a great queue of people wandering out to see where the latest cusp of lava is coming from. And, you know, putting out the picnic blanket and having lunch in front of it, you know, and that's just the Icelandic way of dealing with lava. And there's many other ways, and you've actually pictured quite a few there. So, Hannah, what did you think of Gerald's piece?
Yeah, until the mountain starts throwing lava rocks at you. I don't get that.
That's it.
Go see the lava. No, thank you. Why don't you take a picture and I'll show me that.
That's it. No, seriously, that's what they. This is, it's very Icelandic, you know. Go and see the lava, okay?
You bring me some.
Just one of those things. So yeah, go figure. And my thanks to Dave too for hanging around. He hung around a lot longer than what he said he would. But he has had to disappear. So thank you to Dave for that. Sweet. Did you want to say a few words about Gerald's poem?
You know, I know that, you know, he uses a metaphor of lava, that hot spark, that boiling over, that you know, can burn you, or what can hurt you, or things like that. But, I mean, this goes so deep about, you know, the people and what keeps us apart. And, you know, we don't have to let all those things keep building up and building up if we would just release that pressure and talk to people and
yes.
love people and go through and respect people. And I mean, there's so many things, the wars we have going on, the things we may have just on a one-on-one level. I mean, when you don't talk to somebody for 15 years or 5 minutes or 20 minutes or 5 days, you know, what are you really doing? What's going on? So those pressures are and burn, you know, the best of friends or anything like that. So what do you do to yourselves? What are you doing? And I thought that was such a great metaphor through the whole thing.
No, agreed. And I put a photo on the board of Icelandic lava watching, just for the record.
Anybody else see the dragon in that picture? Gerald's picture?
Yeah, I can see the dragon in that picture. It's kind of cool. But anyway, yeah. I didn't get to do it to put the dragon down, but you're right. You can. You can, Adam. You're absolutely right. Okie dokie. Well, let's just go to the videotape, and we are working our way through the list, and we will then head to Titus as the next poll. And let me put that link on the board. Hello to Titus too, if you are listening out there, because I know you usually do live. So this is a poem called Death Would Stand Stoic, and we do have a SoundCloud, and I know you do that all the time, so let me go and play that. Turn the volume up, play that now.
Death would stand stoic. A long time since Lucretius sat upon that top tier, a languid response it was from an encyclopedia, you'll remember opening, what was truth or dare? Anticipation was a brief acquaintance, far speedier decline, one could envisage before death, can free the affliction of love by what in common we had. To edge open that partition of the book you see, page 466. May God distinguish the said love potion, spilt for what has passed underfoot, the sensory perception the arguments have put. The stairs live remotely, by worlds unconcerned but my existence at all, for they cannot intervene with so small a persuasion death has adjourned time to find a firmer footing where one can lean upon a slide rule, take the banister for instance, to evaluate the autonomy or a self-sufficiency needed, stuck at this point that love it supplants an ideology to be decked death. By this deficiency I will delve into death with the words of a stoic, to carry the heart on the sleeve, confines heroic.
Now, this is going to sound really strange, because I make strange comments about poems sometimes, but I was listening to the read of this, and the stairs remotely by worlds unconcerned, by my existence at all, for they cannot intervene. And what that made me think about, Titus, was actually a famous poem by A.A. Milne, of course, which is Halfway Down the Stairs, and famously sung then by one of the little frog Muppets too, Halfway Down the Stairs. And I don't know why, but I got distracted by that. So that's where I was. Sweet. What did you think of Titus's poem?
Oh, first off, you just threw me off with Muppets singing on the stairs. I mean, this is this somber poem about death and everything, and now I've got Muppets in my head. I'm sorry. I love this whole where one can learn or one can lean upon a slide rule, taking the banister, for instance, to evaluate the autonomy or a self-sufficiency needed. Stuck at this point that love, it supplants an ideology to protect death. By this deficiency, I will delve into death, the words of a stoic, to carry the heart on the sleeve, confines heroic. Can we now? Can we really? I love this. I will delve into death with words of a stoic, carry the heart on the sleeve, confines heroic. Well, when we always say, you must be brave, you must be, you know, not show your emotions, not wear your, what not, do not wear, go in as a warrior, go in as,
British
you know, the man.
Yes.
Yes. You know, you never wear your heart on your sleeve. I don't, you just don't do that. And here he's literally throwing that in the face, going, no, we will not do that. We will go with all emotions. We will go everywhere, you know. I love the literally in your face, like, no, I will go with love. I will go with joy. I will go with whatever. I will literally spit in your face and tell you this is what it is. This is my ideology. This is how I feel. And I am going to go in my heroic place with my heart on the sleeve. And whether you believe that I'm a stoic or not, I'm going to do this. I really kind of enjoyed this.
Not very much. Like, great comment, too.
Thank you. Even though it's great about comment. Suicide.
No. Still a great comment. Halfway down the stairs is a stair where I sit. There isn't any other stair quite like it. I'm not at the bottom. I'm not at the top. So this is the stair where I always stop. Hatter.
One, two, three. Very poetic lines throughout. He always brings it. I was looking at it. Page 466, may God distinguish the said love potion split for what has passed underfoot. Beautiful line.
Beautifully written. And of course, always beautifully spoken and produced. Titus always does brilliant work when it comes to producing and reading his pieces. So thank you, Titus. I'm going to go now to Budo, and then I think we have one piece to go, which is of JCA. And I think JCA has been on the boards, but I wasn't sure whether he was going to be calling in or whether he had the chance to do that. So I've left.
I think he's at work.
Sorry. I think he might be, and so we've got a SoundCloud too of his piece. So I'm going to read Budo, and then JC, if you let us know. I know if it's SoundCloud on the wall, but we'll just let you let us know whether I think we're playing SoundCloud. But anyway, let's go firstly to Budo, and this is a dark dirge, and it goes like this. He picks a plectrum via thumb strokes, fingers striking gracefully unto guided strings to evoke a most lamenting tone of minors. This be not a celebratory ceremony, as it weighs deep in discourse a most melodious curse. Of the end that justifies his means in the finality of all we know too well, this song he bleeds. And when nigh will draw a heavy sigh, and with one puff another light, will be snuffed out. In poem. It is dark, isn't it? It is dark. I'm used to Budo being upbeat and bouncy, and it is quite dark, but it's nice dark. Hatter, what did you think of that piece?
Yeah, and with one puff, another light will be snuffed out.
Yeah.
It gets really heavy at the end.
Yes.
This be not celebratory ceremony. Yeah. Reading it here. It's very good.
Yeah, agreed. You're right. So but heavy in a good way. I like it in terms of its how it sort of creates a presence. So and thank you to JCA for responding. And yes, he is at work, so yes, we will do the SoundCloud. What did you think of Budo's piece?
You cannot not like a Budo piece to begin with. This one is very kind of darker than I'm used to by him. And I almost picked that picture. I really toyed with that picture. But I'm glad I didn't, because I'm so glad he did. I like...
Cool.
The way he just brings it to life, like, of the end that justifies his means and the finality of all we know too well. It is, it is this song he bleeds. And you can believe it. It's not just the song that he plays, but he's actually bleeding. It reminds me of the song the Guitar Weeps.
Yes.
It's got that feeling.
Yeah.
Gently weeps. Yeah, it's got that feeling with one puff, another light will be enough to... So it's a lot darker with that. Like my guitar, if I play it, someone's going to die tonight. Someone's going to die. We're not going to weep over my guitar. Well, somebody's going to weep, but tonight it's like the Grim Reaper's kind of band behind it. Like that's who plays that music behind the Grim Reaper's, this guy.
Yeah. A great comment. No. Okay. Well, we've only got JCA's one to go, and I'm fascinated by what this is. So let me go and play the sound clip. Here we go, JCA.
Don't call me Arthur. A dramatization by JCA. I'll excuse you this time, Doctor. You're new here. But please, don't call me Arthur. Arthur was a cartoon character, a fantasy, a punchline. Arthur never truly existed. You can't prove it either. Where's the birth certificate? Oh, no. Just some delusional psycho woman who fed a bastard child to a monster. When I smothered her in that hospital, Arthur went poof, and I felt reborn. You see, we have a system that tells us people like me are a cancer. But who are these arrogant, silver spoon-fed leeches who tell us what's right or wrong? What's funny or not? You think you can fix me? Let me whisper in your ear, Doctor. I don't need fixing. I'm the fix. When I killed those three young Wall Street boys on the subway, I finally got a taste of existence. A taste of true humor. You see, not only did I wake up, but I made those boys immortal. Who was ever going to remember the punchline in this joke? You see, Doctor, Arthur never existed, but Joker does. And I make people immortal. Well, Doctor, you want to tell everyone you're immortal? Wait. You can't. Now that's funny. Now for you. Yes, you listening to me right now. Let's break down some walls. Because none of this is a tragedy. Oh, no. It's a comedy. And we all live in a punchline. You see, there's a fine line between reality and fantasy. The question you need to answer is, which side are you on? Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking.
Well, there you go. I don't think we've had a sort of a piece like that in a long time. That's basically JCA in character as the Joker, and he's paying homage to Joaquin Phoenix. But of course, I can't think about Batman and the Joker without thinking about Heath Ledger, who of course, tragically accidentally overdosed not long after playing the character of Batman, the Joker in the film. And it's an amazing character. It's a character that's been around, I think, since 1940 when it was first designed. Sort of becomes spookier and darker and sort of more evil the way it goes on, and I think you did an amazing job with that. Sweet. What did you think?
Oh, my goodness. I thought it was fabulous. It was so good. He has that attitude of the Joker down so well, and that darkness in him. I mean, he just played that perfectly, and I kind of might have nightmares over that. It was so well done, and the whisper in the air, and no, I don't want to be mortal. I don't want to be mortal. Mm-mm. No, thank you.
No, it's brilliant. Hat up, what did you think of that piece by JCA?
So JCA posts an empty page so we can sit in a fetal position in the corner because we have nothing to read?
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what just happened. Yes.
And I did it very... Performance art. Performance poetry. Performance
it
art.
It was. Brilliant.
Correct.
Next evolution.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I loved it. I just think, you know, the wonderful thing about this show, Hatter, is that you can... You know, you can do just about anything in terms of a response to something, and I thought that was just a brilliant response.
Yeah.
You can get out of the fetal position now.
Okay,
you
thank
can't
you.
Over, Hatter. It's all over.
Feel like I'm in Starbucks.
You're allowed to, yeah. So, okie doke. So I should finish up stuff, and what I was told to say by Deb is, let me go to the videotape and make sure I'm saying the right thing, because otherwise I'll get into trouble, probably get into trouble anyway, but, you know, at least I can sort of, you know, work my way through it, if I've sort of attempted to do the right thing. So first thing is, the prompts for next week are on the board, so would love you to go in and... have a go at those for Deb's show for next week. And that is now up on the board now. We have a couple of shows coming up in the next few days by, I think, have a Star Wars theme to them. And that's
the last Sky series.
Yeah,
Sky
series.
Yeah. At 30. So they're the next couple of days. And then, of course, at the normal Bat Time and Bat Channel, we have the Saturday night's open poetry with myself, Hatter and Deb. So we've got all those things coming up. I'd very much like to thank Hatter for being along for the ride. And my great thanks to for you, Sweet, for hanging out with us. It's much appreciated. A big thanks to JCA for listening in on the wall and making all those comments as we went along. And thanks to Dave for coming in early, and hope, Wayne, you get well, even though you haven't been able to call in because you've not been well. But I know that's the same with Deb, and I hope, Deb, you're getting some rest and you're going to be feeling better.
Well done.
So, okie-doke. Well, that's all we've got for tonight.
Hold on. In behalf of all of us, and, of course, Ms. Deborah Lee, you make a fine host, and thank you for filling in tonight because it was an incredible show.
No, it was always a pleasure, and I just sort of sat there and did very little with my right hand, which is good because that's what I'm meant to be doing, very little with my right hand. So it's just got a nice plaster cast that sits below the fingers, and I can wobble the fingers, and that's about all. They say hello to me, and I say hello back, and that's about all I can do. So it's a good thing to do.
Like,
so thank you.
Like living with a clumsy friend.
Yes.
I want to use your left hand.
Yes. Anyway, it is what it is. So, look, brilliant show. Thank you for everybody for putting the poems in, and all the prompts are there for next week. I'll put them up on the board. I'm sure Deb will be back and next week and do her normal wonderful job. Until then, have a great evening, and we will talk soon.
Talk soon, Ms. Ray. See you later, Hatter. Bye, guys.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.